Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, Professor of Transformational Leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential. And today we are going to talk about overcoming the imposter syndrome. You ever feel like you're going to get found out? You're just where you are by mistake? No matter how well you do, that somehow you don't measure up? Well, that comes from deep-seated limiting beliefs. Generally, limiting beliefs that we're blind to. We don't know we have them. But beliefs, nonetheless, that need to be challenged for us to fulfill our potential. I had a young man in yesterday who was highly respected by three of the most upright, successful business people I know. And he's had a promotion where he's suddenly in charge of a huge network of global team members, and he doesn't even have his college degree. Of course, he never really cared about college, and what he says is that he flunked out. But the truth of the matter is, in order to flunk out, you'd have to really try, and he didn't really care. He cared about sports and partying. But he feels insufficient. As he looks around, he's just waiting to get found out that he's an imposter. And I don't think he is, because they wouldn't be investing in him if he weren't really a monster. So we should probably call this imposter or performance monster, because that's exactly what he is a performance monster. But he's facing a whole new level of complexity and demand, the likes of which he's never faced before. And he's certain he's going to get found out, just as he's been certain he was going to get found out throughout his career. And he still doesn't know that this goes back to childhood. It goes back to a super mom who was a very, very high performer and a dad who didn't come anywhere near mom in performance. Well, he's a guy. God knows how he decided that he was more like dad. And not like mom, not the high performer mom was, but the solid guy dad wasn't. He even felt that he was inferior compared to his dad because he wasn't as good at the things that his dad was good at. However, this guy is fantastic. He has a very deep sense of integrity. He looks at work from a very pragmatic point of view. He's no run-of-the-mill average performer. He's somebody who thinks anew with everything he does. Sure, he had authority issues. That's why he was rebelling in school and in high school and in college. He was rebelling against other people's performance standards, didn't really ever know how to honor the gifts that he did have. So we're working on him learning to honor the gifts that he had. It'll take a little while before I'm going to be able to help him see where that limiting belief came from that he wasn't good enough. But he has it, and it goes way back. And we know that most of our limiting beliefs are installed by the time that we're 6 or 7 at the latest. And we're mostly living out a self-fulfilling prophecy after that. Oh, but the cool part of this guy's self-fulfilling prophecy is that he is fantastic at seeing the most efficient ways to do things. And so I'm honored to be able to work with him to help him overcome the anxiety, the worry of being found out that you're not good enough. Most of us have anxiety. We have free-floating anxiety. We have signal anxiety. That's when we're anxious about a specific situation towards which we can appoint the reason for the anxiety. But the human mechanism has anxiety floating through it all the time. And our limiting beliefs are there to keep us safe. They're there to keep us from going too fast. But if we ever want to blow the doors off of our life potential, we have to identify our limiting beliefs, of course, and maximize our empowering beliefs. And we have to challenge those limiting beliefs and develop still more new beliefs. So the big idea is when you think you're not good enough, well, of course, you should practice and get better. But understand that you have limiting beliefs that probably kept you from getting better or will keep you from getting better and feeling totally comfortable. Actually, total comfortable isn't very interesting. Trusting ourselves more. Trusting ourselves to be able to live a vision of possibility, of endless horizons into which we can live and develop ourselves. I've got limiting beliefs I'm working on right now as I'm talking to you. Let's work on those together and talk to our first caller, Patty. She says, I grew up holding myself back, and I'm done doing that. Is that all there is to it? Well, saying it and doing it are two different things, aren't they, Patty? Talk to me.
Yes, they are. I so relate to everything you're saying. Oops, there's an echo. Do you hear an echo?
Yeah, I've got,
okay.
No, I don't hear an echo, but
okay.
I hear you faintly.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep, we got you. Can't hear myself, but I can hear you.
Okay, I'm wondering if I take it off Bluetooth, would that help?
Yes, please, that'll be great.
Okay, let's try that.
There you go. You're good.
Okay, yes. Historically, I grew up playing small. It was safer for me to play small. And I can so relate to what you're saying about the belief that if people found out who I really am, they would leave or they would, I don't know, the whole imposter thing really makes sense to me. Because deep down inside,
yeah.
My core limiting belief is I don't matter, but offshoot of that is that I'm not good enough.
Yep, there you go. And that's probably underneath that. And so the trick for you is to begin developing an internal support where you congratulate yourself for going ahead when you're afraid. You've got the key skill is to separate your thoughts from your feelings. The thought is, I'm not good enough. The emotion is fear. And the fear is happening because you're imagining somebody putting you down the same way you put yourself down.
Yeah.
So you want to change the internal dialogue, because we all have self-fulfilling prophecy cycles where we have a belief, we act in a way that causes other people to believe, and you've had caused people to believe you weren't good enough in the past. That influences their belief, and they act in a way, and you can say, see, I wasn't good enough. Now that you're challenging it, you can change that at the belief level and at the actions level, but you can also change that by hanging around people who see you differently, who act differently towards you, thereby challenging that limiting belief.
Oh, yes. And I see that happening already.
Well, good. Congratulations. I see that happening in the year, too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thanks for calling, Patty.
You're welcome.
Okay, our next caller is Joe. He says, how do I overcome my nerve at my new company and integrate myself better? Well, talk to me about it, Joe.
Hey, Bob. Well, so where I'm at is, you know, I've always done sales for myself, and I started a new company, and so I kind of have to create a wholesale structure because they don't currently have one. And for myself, like historically, I would sell when I needed some extra income. And now, you know, there's more visibility. I'm working with a team. I'm not just a one man entrepreneurship. And so I feel scared and also excited. And I'm like, well, when I'm working with these guys, I need to create something that is in addition to what I used to do sales wise, which is like, I used to just go out and network and meet people face to face. And that's how I generated business. So I guess I feel scared and nervous about how to create an entire structure for a company that doesn't have a sales engine.
Well, I think, first of all, let's just talk about the anxiety. So the anxiety is going to mount if you're not taking effective action. How many dials are you doing a day?
Right now I'm doing 30 making 10 connections.
Okay, so 30 dials a day. It's not a super high number, but it's also not a super low number. It's kind of in between. What is your conversation? You say 10, so you want 1 to 3. That's a pretty high ratio.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of just began that. I mean, I'm trying to get in front of marketing directors and creative directors of big companies like Ogilvy Mather and Leo Burnett. And I would say that it's difficult. You know, I'm working LinkedIn, Facebook, and email the best I can to make that ratio happen.
Well, the first thing I would do is sit down with each other person in the company. I'd find out who they've done business with in the past and get introductions to those people and go meet those people and work those guys' networks. I know you just moved out there from Illinois. You can't be expected to have a great network. So you've got to work these guys' networks into their warmer leads.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to take these guys out on calls with you, and you've got to use – I don't think you ever had the ISAP training, but you've been around enough ISAPs that you've got to do ISAPs with people when you meet them. You want everybody you talk to receive value from that conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I like the first part. I like everything you said, but I'm just going to address the first part of just using the network that's currently here, because I kind of just was like, you know, I signed up for the LinkedIn sales manager program, and I'm like, I'm just going to go at this, and I kind of just started, you know, swimming out in the ocean, and I'm hearing what you're saying about just kind of like, you know, use what's right around me, and then I like what you said about adding value to every conversation that I generate.
Yep. That's it. And you're harnessing the anxiety. You let the anxiety push you into action.
Yeah. And I, you know, to the point about anxiety, it's like I know that there's just, you know, there's the big companies out there that already have just such a process. And I'm like, I just got to kind of make this. And I guess there's fear around how, you know, I'm making structure, but I'm doing it in out of no structure.
Are you are you in an A4S group?
No. I'm joining in the next 3 weeks, though.
Well, why are you dragging your feet? Get it going.
Will do.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how the best antidote for anxiety is action in the direction of what you're anxious about. So the more he gets things moving, the better. But he's expecting too much of himself, and he's acting like the Lone Ranger. He's got to learn how those guys sell. What are those guys' value propositions? What have they sold in the past? And take them out with him so they can learn to sell and he can learn to sell better. So we've got Tabitha. What if my strongest social network is within my workplace? Talk to me, Tabitha. Oh, text question. Well, if Tabitha is under 40, under 35, of course your strongest network is at your workplace. That's how it is for most young people. What's really cool is as you get older and work more places, your network from fellow coworkers and former coworkers is going to expand, so will your social network as you engage in different activities. But for most people fresh out of college who are cut off from their college population, of course your social network is going to be at work. I have very fond memories about after coming back to the United States. And when I was done with my initial training and no longer working at the railroad, it was a wonderful place to work. There must have been 30 or 40 of us within 5-8 years of each other. And it was good fun if I was working mornings to go out after work with people, and if I was working afternoons and evenings, we'd go out. And it was just great because it was a ready party environment, and I had lifelong friends from that period of time in my life. So just embrace and love the ones you're with and meet new ones through them. So Anthony is next. He says, I've been working at my job for 10 years, and I've made a lot of progress. But sometimes I feel like I'm still faking my way through it. How do I develop better confidence in myself? Talk to me. Excuse me, Anthony. Anthony's not on the line. He's dropped off on us. And he, sometimes we've got to fake it till we make it. I've got a very fast-growing company that I coach that's going out on to a global platform now from a very strong national platform. And that's how they grew. When somebody wanted something, they'd say, we'll do it. Then they'd figure out how to do it. And that's how they added skills. And the real question is, do you intend to deliver? Because faking your way is the way most things start. Vygotsky, one of the educational theorists that we look to, says that's how children learn. They pretend to be adults. They play dress up. They have adult conversations with dolls. And little by little, we actually grow up. So fake it till you make it. Of course, but don't be dishonest. Be authentic. And above all, know that you have your own limiting beliefs, that you are unlocking your potential. Whatever your limiting belief is, if you're not good enough, if you're too much, whatever it is, you want to learn how to challenge it day by day, moment by moment. Told you the story of the young man that I'm working with. But the beautiful part of this game is, you will become what you work to become. And as long as you're genuine, decent, authentic, and intentional in creating the best for other people, they're going to want the best for you. So thank you for joining me today and bring out the best Blog Talk Radio. This is the year of energizing your life and igniting your world. We would love to have you join us for the June 10th Foundation Training. We'd love to have you join us for anything else that you can. Stop into one of our campus tours and bring out your best.